Our reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Peter Dalman. I'm a retired vicar, and I'm very pleased to be a member of the congregation here at Christ the Servant King Church. And I'm very pleased to have been asked to speak to you today. I hope you'll enjoy what I say and apply what you hear. As some of you have been kind to notice, there's less of me than there once was. I've been praying on my own and with other people since before the turn of the century that I might lose some weight. And now I have, and I'm hoping to lose just as much again. I was told, we're all told, that walking 10,000 steps a day is good for you. Well, about 18 months ago, I was struggling to walk about 300 steps in a day. And I told Zuzia, this was a bit of a mistake, really. Because if you tell Zuzia anything, she'll pray for you with enthusiasm. Well, now my daily average is 2,236. Well, it was until this Friday just gone. My son had got a free ticket for himself and me to go to see some classic car racing at Silverstone. And my steps went up and up and up through the day. 2,400. 3,600, 6,000, 7,680, but I was stuck on the other side of the motor racing circuit to where the car was. And I thought, hey, if I could get back to the car park, I could make 10,000. But as I walked back to the car park, I was walking not very well and not very quickly, and a white van man came past. A French white van man, and he insisted on giving me a lift to the car park. And then when I got to the car park, my son had gone on ahead and he brought the car to me. And now I'm an unhappy man. because I only did 9,490 steps. Well, what do you do? 9,490, only 9,490 steps. Who'd have thought that I'd have been defeated in reaching my goal by a French white van man and a loving son? Prayer is not only at the heart of the Christian faith, it can be at the heart of a lot of Christian frustration. How do we pray? How does God answer prayer? Or simply, does God really answer prayer? Well, look at this. I'll just let you take the picture in for a moment. Outside number 10 Downing Street. I'm sure people have been praying for a new Prime Minister. We should have been. But which one would we get? Some would have been voting for Jeremy Hunt. Some would have been voting for Boris Johnson. There's sorts of unanswered questions about prayer milling around. And I wonder what sort of questions you bring today. This is a particular problem for the Church of England because it's the Prime Minister who finally decides who bishops are going to be. Can you imagine Boris in charge of selecting our bishops? He does have some good advisors, though. Let me take you to Downton Abbey. I took Heather to Downton Abbey for her birthday treat this year. It's at Highclere Castle near Newbury. And we're watching the complete box set now. Not streaming, but actually a box of DVDs. That's what a box set is. And we're just starting series two. And in a moment, I hope we're going to be able to watch an excerpt. Let me set the scene. The hard-nosed Lady Mary is presently in love with Matthew Crawley, who's about to return to the Western Front in the middle of World War I. Lady Mary is about to be interrupted by her plain-speaking younger sister, Lady Edith, and they don't get on well at the best of times. Lady Edith says to Lady Mary, "You were praying!" And she wasn't apologising for interrupting. She was in complete disbelief, and it was a kind of rude accusation that she was praying. Mary denies it until alone again, saying to God, "I've not got much credit with you, and I'm not sure you're there. But if you are, and if I've ever done a good thing, I beg you to keep him safe. Lord, teach us to pray." We're going to be looking at our Bible reading, Luke chapter 11, 1 to 13, where the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I struggled to find this image because one I saw was a child praying, but prayer is not just for children. One was a woman praying, but prayer is not woman's work in this equal opportunity age. One was of hands together and eyes closed, but prayer is not about symbolic gestures like that. So we've ended up with a graphic design, and prayer can be very graphic. Just 13 Bible verses in our reading, but there's so much to unlearn and learn and then apply. I did just say unlearn. Well, yes, I did. There are things we probably all need to put right about the way we pray. I want to draw out some nuggets of wisdom for you, and I'll send you home with some gems at the end of the service. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And we would ask you to do that for us today, in the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to know all there is to know about prayer, then I'm not your man. But CSK is starting a Sunday series and going to use the same material in small groups on prayer, starting on the 29th of September. So please hang on until then. Our talk today is in three sections. The heart of the Lord's Prayer is a bit shorter and a bit simpler than the words we'll use later in the service and maybe often use on our own or at home. Verses 5 to 8 is a parable about prayer, and 9 to 11 are some sayings about prayer. Short and simple, a parable about prayer and some sayings about prayer. More than any other gospel writer, Luke tells us about Jesus' habit of prayer. And Jesus prays in Luke 3:21, 5:16, 6:12, 9:18, 9:28, 10:21 and 22, 11:1, 22:41 to 44, and 23:46. That's nine times. And if you're listening on the podcast, you can take time to look them up. And if you want to know what those verses are, look on the podcast and look them up. You could say that not that Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, rather he taught us the disciples' prayer, a prayer for us, a prayer for disciples of Jesus. He never said repeat these words every day by rote. He never said we shouldn't, but he never said we should. But since it's a prayer that his followers can use, it's rather more a disciple's prayer than his prayer. And these are the words we were given in Luke. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, so we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. It's rather shorter than the version we're familiar with. Matthew gives us more words in the prayer, and the early church added on the bit at the end. The very first word is completely revolutionary. Father. It was a revolution, almost a blasphemy, to call God by such a familiar name. And it's not just the formal Father, but it's the informal, friendly Abba, Daddy. Because this prayer is not just the words of a prayer, it's the basis of a relationship. Jesus is asking us to speak to his Father as our Father, as our Daddy, in an intimate and relational way about our needs and desires. And that's what it should be like when we pray. Well, it should be like that when we pray. This could be a typical door in Hampton. And I want you to use your imagination for a moment. You've been persuaded by somebody, probably Rachel, to invite the neighbours round for afternoon tea or for a kind of mini street party perhaps, and it's 8 o'clock in the evening, and you approach your neighbour's door. You've waved to these neighbours. They've perhaps annoyed you by parking their car outside your house. You've no sense that they'll welcome your call or want to come to the party, but there is a sense that you might wake them up, annoy them, interrupt their television or whatever. And you wonder, perhaps I shouldn't interrupt them or annoy them. Perhaps I shouldn't even ring the doorbell. Maybe I'll just give a little light tap on the door or quietly push an invitation through the letterbox. You're embarrassed. You're a bit scared. Maybe you won't bother. Or again, you haven't seen your parents for years, and you're now an adult with children of your own. Your parents have been reaching out to you, keeping the door open for you to contact them. And you're very tired. You've been driving all day with the children in your car, and you're at your wit's end. And your parents have texted you saying how much they're looking forward to your coming to see them. And you arrive outside their house. How are you feeling as you walk up to the door? You know of all the desire to talk that there is inside the door. You know the welcome will be warm. We don't understand prayer if we approach prayer like that first neighbour's door, hesitant, reluctant, inhibited, not really sure we should, not really sure we need to. Jesus encourages us not to engage in prayer with any kind of reluctance, but with confidence, assured of a good welcome by God our Father. Lady Mary thought she had no credit with God. Lady Mary thought she would have to have done a good work for God to answer her prayers. Lady Mary wasn't even sure that God was there, and yet there was such a need that she was prepared to pray anyway. You can understand her anxiety in asking anything of God. Well, none of us should be anxious to approach God like that. We can and should go frequently and confidently and easily to God, and it gets easier with practice. It's not about using the right words. It's not about kneeling or closing our eyes. It's about a confident relationship with God who sent his Son to win over our hearts and literally save our lives. How do you feel when you stand outside God's doorway and start to pray? Well, I hope you do actually start to pray and don't give up. A little parable about prayer. Suppose you have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I've no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me, the door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he'll not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. This is a parable. It's a story with a meaning, and it's about prayer. In the parable, Jesus too talks about knocking on a neighbor's door in the middle of the night, asking for the loan of 3 loaves to feed an unexpected guest. We could take a show of hands. Who thinks that's a totally unreasonable request, and which you think it's reasonable? Well, in the days of Jesus, it would have been a totally reasonable request because hospitality was very important to them. You may remember the wedding at Cana in Galilee where the wine ran out and that threatened to bring shame on the family. So Jesus made them 2,000 bottles of the finest wine. You can check out the sums, it's about right. Hospitality was important in Jesus' culture. Generous hospitality was important in Jesus' culture. And Jesus cares even about our shame. Here's another story. Heather, my wife, took the car to Tesco's yesterday morning. When she went back to the car, it had a flat tyre. A passerby pointed it out to her. Heather sent me this picture and said, "Is this tyre flat?" I was at home and I couldn't walk as far as Tesco's, and Green Flag, our breakdown service, were very busy. But Heather's a member of Christ the Servant King Church. So she let someone else from CSK know, and whoosh, the CSK team turned up. A team was there to change the wheel. Apparently, our curate, the one in the middle, is very knowledgeable about changing wheels. I'm not sure if Heather had actually prayed about her need for help, but CSK neighbours had certainly responded. Thank you, guys. The neighbour in the parable said, "Don't bother me, the door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." In the times of before electricity, people went to bed when it got dark. It was expensive to have an oil lamp or a candle. In Palestine then, the whole family slept in the same bed. There were practical reasons why he couldn't get up and open the door. Jesus went on, "I tell you, even though he'll not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, because of your shameless audacity," I love that, "your shameless audacity will surely get up and give you as much as you need." This little parable is not about persistent prayer. Jesus teaches that somewhere else. This is about being shamelessly audacious in our prayers, being brave in our prayers. When did you last ask a brave prayer? When did you last pray a brave, audacious prayer for yourself or someone else. God doesn't want us to nag him all the time. He wants us to ask for big things that we need right now. And God is not reluctant to answer like the man in the parable at first was, but keen to answer when we're bold and pray about important things. It's not God who's reluctant. It's usually we who are reluctant to ask. It is a truth that we cannot be independent. The world tells us we should be independent and look after ourselves. But by depending on God, we actually gain our freedom. We're most free when we completely depend on God, because he's watching our back. He's got it sorted. We all seem to want to be independent, but the Bible makes it clear that actually we're all dependent on him, and in that dependency we find our freedom. Jesus makes it clear we're to seek God for all our needs, but not our greeds. And some sayings at the end of our reading. Jesus did not say, don't trouble the Father. Jesus did not say, don't just wait and see. Jesus did not say, don't wait until you're reminded. He said, ask, seek, knock. We can all behave like toddlers. Prayer is not an Aladdin's lamp. Prayer is all about relationships, and prayer works on family terms. It has been said by Tim Keller, a well-known Christian writer, your Heavenly Father gives you what you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows. Your Heavenly Father gives you what you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows. That's how prayer works. God longs to hear us ask for his Holy Spirit and responds generously when we ask. Thousands will be enjoying that blessing at New Wine, even today in the rain at Peterborough Showground. If you're asking God for something and he doesn't give you, then maybe you're asking for the wrong thing. He won't give you a scorpion if it's not what you want, but he does know what you need, and he is working on the case, and you will understand why there's a delay. Well, we've come to the end of our time, and I promised you some gems. I'd like to think I've given you some gems in the teaching, but when you leave the church, there'll be a little packet of ice gems and midget gems for you to chew your way through as you chew over the teaching. You might like to think, this one represents we should be shamelessly audacious. This one represents that it's a relationship. You could just put some things to the gems, or you could just eat them. Oh, just a picture of that to remind you what they look like. Jesus prayed a lot. Prayer is like talking to a really great hands-on parent. Don't be anxious when you go to God in prayer. Be shameless in your requests for needs, not greeds. We're dependent on God for our freedom. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, teach us to be more dependent on you, to be less independent, but to be your disciples all the time. Make us bold in our prayer. Make us delight in our prayer. Help us to understand when your prayer is not immediate or not what we had expected or hoped for. May we have a relationship with God the Father like we would have with a really good human parent. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to know more, you have to wait until September the 29th.